Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 494 for Sunday, April 23rd, 2017, are Roy David.
Evening, everybody.
Richard Grady.
Good evening, everyone.
And Ryan Treichler.
Hi, everybody.
So I just noticed I've got everybody's name starting with the letter R. It's a pirate cast.
Ah, but we're in love with the sea.
So tonight, we're going to take a fresh look at the Walt Disney World moderate category resorts. First time we'll be revisiting this topic since about 2014. And so it's going to be interesting. There's a lot that's been going on in this sector. But before we get into that discussion, I need to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So, moderate resorts at Walt Disney World, the category, you know, the ones in the middle, right? The original resort hotels were deluxe hotels. We talked on the podcast revisiting the value resorts, I guess about a month or so ago. Time to talk about sort of the middle range, right? The one that, you know, I keep thinking of the Three Bears, right? The just right, somewhere in the middle category. And when we talk about moderate resorts, we're talking about a group of five resorts that share some interesting similarities, but also some stark differences. And I think it makes only the most sense to start at the beginning with the first resort to be a moderate resort at Walt Disney World. That's the Caribbean Beach Resort in the Epcot area. So Ryan, why don't you give us kind of an overview of the Caribbean Beach Resort?
So the Caribbean Beach Resort is it's obviously a moderate resort. It's themed to the islands of the Caribbean. It has a very, very large lake in the center. It's a pretty large resort compared to some of the other moderates as well. So you've got you could have a pretty decent walk from the kind of main shopping area and dining area in the resort to your rooms. It's got lots of little beachy areas. It's got lots of hammocks outside. The pool area is themed really well. One of the things we were really impressed with when we were there on this last trip was the number of amenities that they had at the pool compared to other moderates. So they had a really big kids water play area, and they had two separate water slide areas in the main themed pool. It's got a large, if you like running, it's got a large running trail that runs around it, and you can actually run across the street out of the back entrance and run through Art of Animation as well, which kind of abuts the resort. It's in terms of the rooms themselves, they can sleep up to five. Not all of them have a pull down beds, but some of them have gotten the beds like they originally had in Alligator Bayou, and that have started to extend out to some of the other moderate resorts and that you can find in a lot of the, I think in some of the deluxe studios as well. So it's from our perspective, we stayed at a lot of different resorts. I think it's a really good value in terms of what you get for sleeping capacity, the amenities of the resort, and the comfort that you have in the room. You've got a decent amount of space in there. We're a family of four, but it's still nice to be able to spread out enough and have the kids not have to share a bed and kick each other and get upset at night.
Yeah, I mean, and so Caribbean Beach is a large resort sort of in every respect. It's spread out. As you were mentioning, it's sort of a sprawling resort. It's also the largest single resort among the moderates. It's over 2,100, just over 2,100 rooms, 2,100 moderate resort rooms. And, the renovation that was completed in 2014, I think we've got a sort of a guesstimate. I haven't seen an actual number, but the estimate that we had was that it's probably about a quarter of the rooms that will accommodate five now. And they tend to be on the corner, was what sort of it appeared. And so that's a nice thing. Cause you know, for a long time, there were not many options for families of five. And Caribbean Beach, you know, basically doubled the number of moderate resort rooms that had those sort of fold down, just a little bit smaller than twin beds.
Yeah.
All right. So that's kind of the basics of Caribbean Beach. The next of the moderate resorts to open, I believe, let's see, Caribbean Beach opened in October of 1988. So the next one up would have been Port Orleans French Quarter, which I guess I'm the one who stayed at it most recently. And I'm not one, I don't know the big history of Port Orleans as well, maybe as some others do. I know that it originally opened as Dixie Landings and there weren't two separate properties. You know, there were the whole division between French Quarter and Riverside didn't come out until the early, I guess, a whole year or almost a full year after French Quarter had opened and was running as Dixie Landings. They opened Riverside, and I don't know, the timing on that wasn't great because of the economy, and so they closed part of it again and opened it back up. Whatever, that's ancient history. The reality is that the Port Orleans resorts have been around for quite a while now. They're pretty stable now as French Quarter and Riverside. French Quarter is the smallest of the moderate resorts. It only had 430 some rooms when it opened, and it's expanded since then, but it's still only 1,000 rooms, just over 1,000 rooms. So really half the size pretty much of most of the other moderates. And that's actually what I like most about it. It's the only moderate that isn't sort of overwhelmingly large in a lot of ways. Fairly compact as well as a result. And it's got that New Orleans theming. Some of that has toned down a little bit since the recent renovation in their food court. They kind of took down the huge Mardi Gras masks and things that dominated the room. Opened up the space quite a bit, but I don't know. I kind of miss it. But I think, as Ryan is mentioning in the chat, you know, the thing that draws us back there over and over is the beignets. You know, my kids refer to breakfast at Port Orleans French Quarter as beignet time. So, yeah. And like I said, to me, just about the best thing about French Quarter is how compact it is. It's very easy to navigate, really easy to get around if you don't have a vehicle with you. And the lounge inside is nice. It's you know, before this most recent round of renovations in the sort of just around 2012-13 time period in the Port Orleans resorts, there was a saxophone player who used to play in the lounge at French Quarter all the time, and he kind of, you know, during the renovation, lost his job. It happens quite a bit at Disney properties where, you know, they've got an entertainer and because they don't have work for him for a while, they just terminate the contract. And he ended up, I guess, must have found other work because he hasn't come back full time to French Quarter. But that felt like a kind of a missed opportunity there. But other than that, you can get a beat of beer on tap, several different ones at French Quarter, which is kind of nice. It really just another piece that gives you immersive theming in a moderate resort, which is nice. And so that's French Quarter. What has become the big brother to French Quarter is the Port Orleans Riverside Resort. So Richard, why don't you kind of give us the rundown on Riverside?
Yeah, big brother's kind of right, because it's about twice the room capacity of French Quarter, but I think it's probably 3 to 4 times the space. It's a lot less compact. It's a lot more spread out. So, I think French Quarter, there's one bus stop, right?
Yeah, French Quarter is one bus stop.
Riverside has 4, I believe.
Well, it's actually it's a total of 5 because there's the main stop and then 4 satellite
and
stops.
Then 4 around it. Yeah, I kind of ignore those outside stops because like French Quarter is all straight lines and 90 degree turns for the most part. So it's very easy to go, I'm going from this point to this point. Riverside, everything kind of winds and bends around because it's supposed to be the antebellum south along the Mississippi River. And so you don't do straight lines because the river doesn't do straight lines.
Yeah, well, the Sasagula River.
Yeah, so it's like I'm heading this way, and it's off to the left of me, so I take a right because that's going to wind around over there somewhere.
Right, and you got to go away from the river, basically.
Yes. As far as a hotel goes, it's very spread out, which is kind of nice in terms of the noise levels tend to be lower than some places, even though you have that outside door. But it seems to me that no matter where we request a room, what seems really close when you get there, when you come back that night on the bus and it's 11:30 and you've got a sleeping kid in your arms, your room is like a mile and a half away. They moved it on me.
And it always seems farther away at the end of the day than it did at the beginning when you were walking to the bus stop.
And when you first get there with your luggage, it's right there. And when you're taking your luggage for the Tragical Express, it's like, you know, this long march of despair. The pool's nothing special. It's a pool. Right. It's themed okay, but like the one at French Quarter has the whole New Orleans feel and like the King Triton float thing going on.
Right.
And Riverside's like, look, it's a pool. It's on an island. You know, it's in the Sasagula River Island area, but that's not why you're there. You're there for the quiet aspect, and you're there probably for Yeehaw Bob,
right,
who is the live entertainment at the bar.
Yeah, I mean,
with the River Roost.
Port Orleans does have a pretty broad sort of range of activities too, because it's got that space and they make use of it. So they've got, you know, first of all, they're the two separate themed areas. So you've got Alligator Bayou, which has it's the closest rooms to the main building. So
those have fifth bed,
right?
Which it only a kid is going to fit in it, or a really short adult, but
you've
got two kids,
but it'll fit five.
Yes, it will see five.
And then there is the separate sort of the mansions area, which is the whole conceit at Riverside is that the farther you get from the main building, it's like you're getting closer or you're getting kind of
more into the bayou, the swamp.
Well, no, it's kind of the other way around. It's like the main building is in the swamp because the Alligator Bayou is right next to it.
And then, I guess it is.
And then as you get farther away, you're kind of getting out to the plantations where the mansions are. So as you get farther away, the mansions buildings get larger and more elaborate. At least that's the theory. And so out there in those mansions buildings, that's also where you'll find that in that last renovation back in 2012, they took about a quarter of the rooms in the mansions and or a quarter of the rooms, I mean, in the resort, but all in the mansions.
Yeah, they're now the princess rooms, right?
Yeah, the royal guest rooms.
Yes.
And I mean, they're neat. They're neat. They've got some extra theming.
They're really nice. The theming's great. We haven't paid for that because we much prefer the, you know, my daughter really loved Tiana. Alligator Bayou made sense. Fifth bed.
Yeah. Fifth bed. If you've got five, fifth bed is it. I mean.
Yeah. Well, we have four, but brother and sister.
Yes.
Like, I don't like, you know, if I don't have to share a bed with my son who kicks, I don't.
Can't really blame you there. All right. Well, so that's a pretty good overview. And one thing we should mention too is that French Quarter and Riverside are unique among the moderate resorts in that you can pool hop between them. They're considered a single resort, just two separate parts of the same resort for most purposes.
When they switched over to the RFID tags for the mugs, they were guaranteed to work between Riverside and French Quarter too, weren't they?
The mugs will work in any resort.
Because I remember there was something about basically since French Quarter does not have a full service restaurant, there was some reciprocity.
So that's different. That is actually the deal that comes with Tables in Wonderland.
Okay.
So there's this great little loophole at French Quarter. If you have Tables in Wonderland, because French Quarter doesn't have a table service restaurant and all the other moderates do, you can use your Tables in Wonderland card at their quick service and get your full 20% discount. And since there's no tipping, you actually get a full 20% discount.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yep. It's a nice bonus. Nice.
See, whereas we stayed in Riverside, so it didn't matter. Cause...
Right. Well, unless you go over and get your breakfast at French Quarter and get the beignets, save 20%.
Yeah, but I'm not. So when I go over there and I get the beignets for breakfast, usually what I'll do is I'll take one of the empty resort mug because I could fill it with coffee.
Right.
And I'd run around the basically Riverside two or three times to build up escape velocity. Like I said, when you walk around it, at the end of the day, it's really long. When you're running around it, it's not that bad. I think the loop of the whole thing. Along the main road, you know, what you take on the Surrey bike is only like half or three quarters of a mile. So run around that a couple times, shoot down the road to French Quarter, end the run there, buy beignets, and walk back. And if I buy a dozen beignets, and at least six of them make it back to the room.
There you go. Well, and a trail of powdered sugar.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing too is that being in the Disney Springs area, the Port Orleans resorts are probably farther from parks than most of the other moderate resorts, but you do have boat service down to Disney Springs, which is really nice now, especially now that there's more to do in Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And they do still offer fishing in the old fishing hole, cane pole fishing, which is nice. Although most of their other boating activities are gone now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing, we did pictures there this last week, and I don't remember seeing much in the way of any river traffic. Even the Disney one seemed kind of sparse.
Interesting.
Those boats only run like every 15, I think maybe every 30 minutes. So there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right. We were at the water wheel for probably 20 or 30 minutes. I wouldn't expect to see more than two, maybe. I think we only saw one.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, I mean, two is if you get lucky and you hit the tail end of one, and the other one arrives before you leave.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So the Port Orleans resorts were that complex sort of unfolded over a couple of years there. And that was the second sort of major moderate outpost for Walt Disney World. And then we got the Coronado Springs Resort, which was built specifically as a moderate convention hotel. And it, as a result, has a very different feel from the other moderate resorts in some ways. But Roy, why don't you give us kind of the overview on Coronado Springs, opened up in the beginning of August 1997.
Right. So Coronado Springs, from a theming standpoint, evokes images of the American Southwest, Northern Mexico, that type of area. It's a stark contrast to what you normally see in Central Florida, where you see a lot of palm trees and a lot of green, a lot of lush vegetation. Some people are almost put off by the architecture and the design of Coronado Springs. You know, it's supposed to almost feel like the American Southwest and the desert in that area. But from a theming perspective, I thought they did an absolutely wonderful job. You're right in saying that Coronado Springs was Disney's attempt at attracting a different type of clientele. It does cater more to the convention crowd, as it does have a pretty extensive convention space. It's also the only moderate resort that has its own health club and beauty parlor. It also does have kind of like a dance club / bar type of area too. And their food court runs and operates a little differently than what you would see at the typical Disney food court. At the food court there, you actually go up to whatever counter you want to get, you want to go to. And whatever you order, they give you a card and they stamp it for you. You sit down, you have your meal, and then as you're leaving the dining area, you hand the card over to the cashier, and then you pay for your meal that way. So it took a little getting used to when I first went there, but it kind of made sense for those who are, you know, working off of business accounts, things like that. It's just a lot easier to hold on to receipts that way.
Sure. It almost works on the old cafeteria method.
Yeah, it did. It kind of, in the beginning, was kind of off-putting, but again, you know, for those who are there, you know, picking up meals for clients, things like that. It kind of made sense.
Sure.
It is a large resort, much like the other moderates. There is a central lake in the middle that's about a mile in circumference. The only reason why I know that is the two times I did stay at Coronado Springs, I ran the Walt Disney World Half Marathon, and that's where our team stayed. So you saw a lot of people running around that lake. The rooms are very nicely decorated. The one thing I noticed, and I think they have it now in Caribbean Beach, is that the basins and the sink area, in some of the moderates, they only have a curtain or a drape to section it off from the sleeping area. Coronado Springs, they actually had sliding wood doors, which added a nice level of privacy, which is really, really nice. It definitely has more of a convention type feel. It can be a little off-putting when you see a lot of people wearing name tags and walking around with briefcases and portfolios. But once you get around to the lake, the pool, the dig site, it turns into vintage Disney. I mean, the theming around the pool is absolutely wonderful. They have a great ceremony to open up the pool with the kids. And it really is a great way to spend an afternoon there. So, as far as the Disney character experience, you see a lot of the Three Caballeros around in the vegetation and the topiaries. But again, I think it struck a nice balance between being pure Disney and also catering to that business crowd. It was definitely a pleasant surprise. I wasn't real thrilled about staying there when I ran the marathon, but I got to admit, I was pleasantly surprised. The rooms were nice and comfortable. It was a beautiful resort, and they took care of our large group in ways that that boggled my mind. They were really, really, really great. So
yeah,
definitely a good resort to head to go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the resort that Disney's going to steer you to if you're traveling with a group. It's set up to handle them. It's the largest single floor convention area in the entire American Southeast. It's huge. And so I don't know that people realize just how extensive that convention space is. And there are a few things about the resort that are kind of unique because of its role as the convention resort among the moderates. It's the only moderate resort that has rooms that are suites. There are only a few of them, and they're kind of absurdly expensive because I think the presumption is that whoever would actually get those suite rooms are getting them, for convention purposes, and it's 100% business write-off because it's being used as a business space. But there are a few of them there. And it's also the only moderate resort that has, it's not completely a club level, but it's sort of club level light. They have these business class rooms that include some of the features that you would get in a club level at a deluxe. There's, free sodas and stuff like that are included, and some additional little amenities like that if you stay in a business class room. And believe it or not, occasionally when discounts come out, you can get a decent deal on those rooms. So that covers the four primary moderate resorts, the ones that people think about most often, but there is a fifth moderate resort at Walt Disney World that maybe gets a little less attention because it doesn't feel like a moderate because of the price point, and that's the cabins at Fort Wilderness. They come in priced substantially higher, but they price out higher because they accommodate six. So, it's just a different kind of room, and just like a family suite at Art of Animation or even at All Star Music is, substantially more expensive or, another percentage more expensive than two rooms. In somewhat the same way, the cabin at Fort Wilderness that accommodates six is going to cost you a little bit more, but it's still a moderate resort based on the sort of amenities that are available. You get essentially all of the amenities that are available at the Fort Wilderness campgrounds. So there's a lot of resort activities and things going on. And you've got hoop-de-doo happening on your resort property. You've got the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue happening. You've got the Trail's End restaurant right there. So yeah, there's a number of things, and it's the only moderate that's in the Magic Kingdom area, and you actually have boat transportation from Fort Wilderness to the Magic Kingdom, which is unique among the moderates to have that, you know, some transportation other than a bus to a theme park. It's the only one. And they do, you know, some other kinds of activities. Activities are sort of the hallmark of Fort Wilderness, right? There's just lots of stuff going on. And I mean, Ryan was just mentioning in the chat, there's a Chippendale sing-along that is maybe a little bit of a backyard barbecue light, right? It's not a dinner show. And they don't do, there's no like meet and greet that's a part of it. It's just the sing-along with the characters.
You can get them to sign. Yeah, free meet of Chippendale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that the thing where you can get the s'mores?
Yep. You can get s'mores, or the best part is you can either pay them for the little s'mores kit, which, okay, you know, I think it's like $5. So it's not ridiculously expensive, but you could probably buy the components yourself for $2 and bring them with you. And they are perfectly happy to let you use those.
I think it's 10.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's gone up. All right. Yeah. So it's worth it to go ahead and bring your own supplies, I would say, kind of without question. And, you know, you do accommodate 6, but again, you got to be careful because it's 6, but it's got those, you know, not quite full size beds. They use the same bunk beds, in the Fort Wilderness cabins that they use at, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge. So they're that same, almost but not quite a twin size bed size. I don't know why they do that. It drives me crazy. It's like, really? You need that extra, whatever, you know, 25 square inches? But, you know, they're not quite a full twin size. And then, but they will, you've got basically a double bed, the bunk beds, and then a fold down from the wall Murphy bed. So you get still accommodate a total of 6. And it's small, but a fully equipped kitchen in those rooms as well. So that's another little bonus that you're getting out of a moderate resort at the cabins at Wilderness Lodge. And the cabins also just got, very quietly, just about a complete refurbishment. You know, top to bottom, I think every single building got new bedding, new soft goods, completely changed over just in the last 18 months or so. So, and
the pictures of that looking, the pictures of the refurbed rooms look really, really nice. Like, they're not as cabinish as I would have thought anymore. It looks like the countertops are granite again, so the amenities inside have really been upgraded too.
Yeah, they did a very nice job with the update. And, you know, price point wise, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, you know, if you look at a standard season, you know, regular season rate at, I'm looking at Coronado Springs right now, because all the moderates tend to price similarly. If you look at a Coronado Springs for a standard, you know, regular rate, looks like it's sort of $224 for weekday rate and $256 weekend. Compare that, same dates, you know, standard regular season at the cabins at Fort Wilderness, and you're looking at, looks like $348. Oh, I'm sorry, that's value. Regular. Okay, so $404 for a weekday and $435 weekend. So
that's the pre-tax, right?
And I believe that's a pre-tax rate. Now the cheat that I'm looking at doesn't say, but that sounds right. Why are you seeing a different number?
No, because I had mine on Riverside that all the Disney prices are by default minus tax.
Right.
Which is.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, how do the cabins compare price wise to the family suites at Art of Animation? Those seem like almost a closer proxy, room wise, to than a moderate resort room.
Yeah, they're more similar. It's kind of interesting. Let's see how to do that comparison. Hang on. See if I can find it real quickly here.
Sorry for throwing you on the spot. It's just one of those things that in terms of if I was going to look at spending my money, I think,
right,
you know, if I'm looking at that room, those would be the things that I would be comparing.
Right.
Well, those family suites are like 320 plus. I mean, it depends on the season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And the Nemo ones are more expensive than the Lion King.
Okay, so. Here we go. I finally got my, you know, we can do apples to apples because I'm working from the same source, so it doesn't really matter whether it has tax in included or not, because they ought to be the same. So picking the same day, right? So we'll look at that kind of regular season, which is in mid-August, and a family suite at Art of Animation is going to be $413 for a weekday, $471 weekend. And so $413, $471, and the camp or the cabin is going to be in that same time period less expensive, $348 and $382 on the weekend.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference considering you got a lot better amenities, I think, at Fort Wilderness than you do at Art of Animation.
Well, I mean, you're getting different amenities, right? Because the Art of Animation room actually is a little bit bigger. It's over 500, it's like almost 600 square feet. And the cabin is, just looking at that a second ago, the cabin is...
Here we go.
504.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, yep. Cabin is 504, and the Art of Animation suite is going to be, I want to say it's like 575.
Let me look. Art of Animation, family suite, 565.
565, okay. So yeah, so that's a pretty substantial difference. That's a lot more space. In the Art of Animation family suite. But amenity-wise, you're right. I mean, there's some really nice things going on at Fort Wilderness, and I think that boat to the Magic Kingdom really makes a difference. The downside, of course, is that the bus ride, if the weather precludes the boat from running, is kind of a pain because you've got to loop all the way around to get anywhere from Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. Well, and don't you have to even switch buses? You have the inner resort bus to the front, and then,
If you're not going to walk to, you know, all the way to the front yourself, then yes, you've got to do the double bus thing.
Yeah. We haven't stayed at Fort Wilderness, but we've gone there a couple of times between either Hoop-Dee-Doo or just because it's a great resort to go spend half a day at.
Sure, and, just you know, wander around.
Those intra buses do run pretty frequently. I mean, it's... not great. You're still going to have to wait and then take the first bus to get the second bus stopped and then wait for another bus. But it adds to time, but it's not as bad as I would think.
Right. And you do have the option. You could always, jump on it. Well, walk it or jump on it and rent yourself a golf cart.
That's what I would probably do. Yeah. Just don't have to worry about waiting on a bus. But again, when you've got two sleeping kids in your hands and toe, it's going to be tough to...
Yeah, not much left to steer with.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, you got knees.
That's a dad thing, isn't it? So you know, I think we've covered kind of the basics. And I want to keep us going because we're doing great on time so far, but we've got a few major things to talk about here. Even before we can get to a discussion of sort of our favorites or, you know, who these different moderate resorts would be best for, and that's because just in the last couple of months, we've had major renovations either, you know, be explicitly confirmed by Disney or heavily rumored and it's just Disney can't talk about it because it involves DVC and their rules preclude them from talking about DVC until the building is actually built. So both Caribbean Beach Resort and Coronado Springs Resort are getting substantial renovations. And you know, Caribbean Beach just finished a renovation about a year and a half ago. And they're going back in. You know, Coronado, while they haven't had a major renovation, did get some updates not that long ago. I want to say 2014, 2015, maybe they got some soft goods stuff, but, there are some major changes coming at both resorts. So, we've been kind of getting ready to talk about this since the beginning. And why don't we start with Coronado? Because Coronado is the one that at least Disney has commented publicly pretty extensively about what's happening there. Anybody want to summarize what's happening at Coronado?
Bueller?
Bueller? Am I the only one who's paying attention to this? All right, so this is big. We talked about how many rooms are in each of these resorts. Coronado Springs is at about 1,900 rooms right now. They've already started building at Coronado Springs. They're building a 15-story tower that will have another 500 rooms, including suites and concierge-level rooms to be added to the resort. So basically what they've done is it's almost like they've taken and decided to build a separate convention hotel on the grounds of the existing Coronado Springs. All of these convention amenity type spaces are being built in this new 15-story. I mean, I can't even imagine. There's nothing. The tallest building at Coronado has got to be, what, 3 stories, 4 stories?
Something like that. It's a pretty squat.
Yeah. And they're building a 15-story tower. It'll be one of the tallest buildings on property. I mean, I think the only other resort tower that's anywhere close to that size is Bay Lake Tower.
Yeah.
It's going to be right there on the shore of the lake.
Yep.
Clearly,
very visible.
Yeah. Well, and it's there. Clearly it's there to make it more friendly for the convention crowd, because the whole thing is, convention folks complain about having to go back and forth through the Florida weather during a convention, right? Because those are the people. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, I wouldn't want to do that in a suit, nice wool suit walking out in the heat and humidity in Florida summer. Oh, that just seems awful to me.
Well, or even worse, I mean, think about the fact, being a guy who's got to do an afternoon, presentation. And so you go back to the suite to get your materials and you walk out in a, prime convention season in September. So what's it doing every afternoon at 3 o'clock?
I think it starts with R and ends with Ain.
So you're basically walking through the afternoon rainstorm to set up your presentation. It's got to drive the convention folks crazy. So by moving all of that into this one tower, it should answer a lot of those convention concerns.
So looking at that 15-story building, you're going to be up there pretty high. You should be able to see, like, from the top of the world, you can see all four parks. Given where Coronado's are, Coronado's going to be – I wonder if you'll be able to see the Star Wars fireworks from studios, because it's not that far from where that building is going in.
I think that you absolutely will be able to, and I think that's part of the idea. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether they've confirmed it or not. I'm trying to track it down. But I know that there's been at least rumors that that 15-story tower will be topped with a lounge that's specifically going to be there to overlook, you'll be able to look right down into the studios. And think about once Star Wars Land is built, you'll be able to look right down into Star Wars Land.
That'll be an incredible view. See, I had heard a lot of those rumors, but most of those were around another building that was going to be tall that would look into Epcot.
Right. And that one, we haven't gotten there yet. That's coming next. two major projects at moderate resorts with very different purposes. And the Coronado renovation is focused very, very much on the convention crowd. And then maybe that's a nice segue to the major work happening at Caribbean Beach Resort. And, we ought to point out the work being done at Caribbean Beach is so extensive that there's a year-long period where Disney is paying people to stay in that resort.
Mm.
Right? I mean, I'm not exaggerating. If you booked a reservation, they were so desperate to keep people from you know, canceling vacations or switching to other resorts and leaving Caribbean Beach empty during this renovation, because one of the things that's happening is all of their dining will be closed for a while. And so to compensate guests, they're just automatically giving guests a $75 gift card per night of their stay. At check-in, they just get this gift card.
That's nice.
That's enough that if I'd known ahead of time, I'd...
Exactly, and there are people, I mean, I personally booked three trips for people who are taking either taking an extra trip or who are... Who changed resorts, went from a value resort to Caribbean Beach, figuring that the gift cards that we're getting are going to offset anyway. And it's not like they really plan on eating at the resort much anyway.
Mm-hmm. Is it affecting the main pool area as well?
It's affecting lots of stuff. And I don't think we even really know everything that's going to be affected, because the renovations at Caribbean Beach are going to be pretty massive and have already started. Let's see, the most recent things. So all of the restaurant stuff is happening. The entire Barbados and Martinique sections of the resort, so two entire sections, two out of six, so what, a third of the resort, is going to be completely closed starting in May, right? So just around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably should talk about why they're doing this. What's going on?
Big changes. When we checked in, the front desk person was very excited to talk about all the changes that were coming. Well, Caribbean Beach is a little bit different in that the check-in building is completely isolated from everything else. So you check in at one spot, and then there's no restaurant, there's nothing else there. And then you have to go off to the resort, and the main restaurant, dining, shopping, kind of center of the resort with the themed pool is in a completely different spot. So they're getting ready to shut down the main check-in area so that they can move that back into the space where the current restaurant and shop is. And then they're building another building next to that where the current restaurant and shop are going to move to. I think the check-in is replacing the current store, and the store is then moving into a new building that's being built. But that's all to accommodate the other additional people that will be flowing through the resort.
Right, because Caribbean Beach, I mean, it sounds like we're going to lose ultimately, a third of the regular rooms. I don't know whether they're going to rebuild those or not. Anybody else have a sense of whether Martinique and or Barbados is going to reopen?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to open with the same configuration. I don't, we're kind of dancing around it, but I think with what they're saying they're going to do, I don't see how they can fit DVC into those rooms. So.
Oh yeah. No, there's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt that they're building a separate building for DVC. My only question was if there was enough space in that chunk of land to, bring at least some of those rooms back to Caribbean Beach, or if Caribbean Beach was just going to lose a third of its capacity permanently.
I think you may get some, but I think you're going to lose a big portion of them.
Yeah, I think that's likely. And as we keep dancing around it, what they're getting is, for lack of a better way to put it, the first moderate resort DVC location.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see how that's going to affect DVC, sales. I'd love to see. I mean, as a DVC owner, I'm curious to see how the points would be allocated, what the size of the rooms would be. I mean, all that comes into play. And, for somebody who's, been with the DVC for several years now, I think part of the frustration that I feel sometimes is being able to get the resort that I want. I mean, I own points at the beach club, and this coming trip in May is the first time in 5 years where I'm actually going to get to stay at my home resort. Now, part of that is the timing of my vacations and things like that, along with my use years. But the ability to go to a moderate resort where you're going to, for lack of a better term, give up some of the deluxe amenities that come at a deluxe villa for the sake of, you know, for the sake of a lower point structure, I think it's going to attract a lot of business. And you know, I'd be really curious to see how that's going to work out over the next couple of years.
Right. And that's a whole other DVC show to get into the details of how it'll affect the DVC side of things. But just in terms of the resort, right, we're talking about a couple of pretty substantial changes because, number one, we're going to have, even though we're taking out two areas of buildings from Caribbean Beach, the size of this tower that they're building is not insignificant. And I got to think that overall, we're going to see, you know, more people utilizing the resort amenities than are doing so now between the regular Caribbean Beach resort folks and the Caribbean Villas folks.
Well, I mean, even at a spot like Bay Lake at the Caribbean the Contemporary, when they built that, they built a separate themed pool for DVC. So I could see them build.
They'll definitely get another pool. Yeah.
But I could see them needing another themed pool, almost not just another quiet pool, but another big,
a true feature pool.
Which would be one of the reasons why I think that some of those buildings in Martinique might not come back. Because I think they may be needed not just for the building footprint, but for the other amenities.
All the other stuff that you need to have.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's no question. They're going to have to get more table service dining there to have DVC probably. They're going to have another feature pool, and it'll probably be restricted to the DVC folks, kind of like over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, right, where you've got – you know, the regular pool, and then you've got the Kidani pool that's a DVC pool. And, you know, the other thing to me that's so interesting, Caribbean Beach is the resort. I mean, it was the first moderate, but it didn't open as a moderate, right? I mean, there wasn't a separate category when it opened. And as far as Disney was concerned, until they kind of saw how sales went and they saw what was happening in terms of, you know, guest responses to smaller rooms at Caribbean Beach as compared to the Contemporary or the Polynesian. But you know, we have to remember that when Caribbean Beach was built, it was the only Epcot area hotel, right? There was no Crescent Lake hotel area. And I think that people forget about that. And since those Crescent Lake hotels have been built, people almost forget that Caribbean Beach was the original Epcot area resort. Because other than the walking entrance, it's darned near as close to Epcot as you know, especially the resorts that are kind of farther down to the ends of the Crescent Lake route.
Particularly if they could build they could connect it via water really, really easily. I mean, that was one of the original DVC rumors about it, was that that's what was going to happen, was they were going to build kind of a boat service into the back entrance of Epcot where Illuminations comes in. Because it's 100 yards of canal that they would need to build in order to do the connection, was what somebody had mapped out.
Yeah, and I don't know that we know for sure that that's completely out or not yet. I mean, nobody said anything about it, but you got to kind of wonder. And I guess it plays a little bit into the other sort of bizarre almost construction permit rumors that have been floating around. Because I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, I haven't looked back at these in a while, but... Isn't all of this sort of Caribbean Beach stuff also included in some of that gondola noise?
It is.
Absolutely. It is. Yeah.
All right. So explain to people how this gondola piece connects in with this as well.
Well, it kind of looks like from looking at the rumors and the maps that have been floating around the web, it looks like there's going to be a kind of like a turn point at one end of the Caribbean Beach Resort, and then there will be a kind of a station, like a loading station, right in between where Caribbean Beach and Pop Century and Art of Animation are. with a turn going directly into Hollywood Studios. So talking about another mode of transportation other than buses, it would just attract, for me, would attract me even more to stay at one of those resorts. Anything I can do to stay off a bus, I'll do it. just imagine to stay on a view, looking at the view from high above, high above would be better as well. But yeah, it looks like, they're developing some type of system where, they're going to connect, Pop Century, Art of Animation, and Caribbean Beach with, Hollywood Studios and with Epcot.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's still some question as to whether the value resorts would actually be part of the, would actually have access to the system, or whether they would just kind of be the termination points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard rumors both directions. Some of the rumors I've heard suggest that at the value resort end, those are really just sort of the anchor poles.
Right.
And that people wouldn't be able to actually board there or get off there, which would make us, on the one hand, it's kind of disappointing. On the other hand, it makes a certain amount of sense, because that's always been the big attraction, I think, for a lot of the deluxe resorts, is that the big bonus of staying in a deluxe resort is you get transportation that's not a bus.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you get the primary transportation, even the buses seem faster from the deluxe resorts than the. No, I'm serious. It seems like, if you're in a moderate, the busing is not quite as good. And if you're in a value, the busing is there. But, in the deluxe, the transportation seems to be plussed.
Well, and some of that is just a function of the other geography, piece, which is geography.
Well, you're a lot closer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, this rumor of the gondola system, I am just really intrigued. I think that this is the potential to be really cool and to create some interesting, planning dilemmas almost. And maybe this is what leads us back to talking about, how you choose a resort. Because right now, you don't have that, right? All the moderate resorts have the same, essentially, transportation, except for the boat from Fort Wilderness to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And maybe the Port Orleans to Disney Springs, although it doesn't run all that frequently. But it's
well,
there.
And it's, then you go from Disney Springs to somewhere else. It's
yeah, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's still by a bus. So gondolas may change some of the calculus, but this is probably a good time to kind of circle back and talk about each of these resorts and who these are probably the best choice for. And let's maybe talk just briefly about Caribbean Beach, just since we're there already. And we talked around it a little bit, but, and I think at this point we have to consider in terms of real life, which is there's some substantial disruption if you're staying at Caribbean Beach for the next year, at least probably two. The short term, and talking about a year is the short term, but in that term, the biggest issue is that the dining isn't going to be available for a while. And Disney does a pretty good job of, doing their construction during the day while people are off at the parks. And so you tend not to hear about the construction so much, especially in a situation like this where it's all getting done kind of off to one side of the resort. But, they can't help but have some disruptions when the scope of what's being done is as massive as this is. But that aside, given that you've got some issues with those basic amenities, the food court, the stores, things like that, who is Caribbean Beach still a good choice for?
I would do it as a solo traveler.
Okay.
Hands down. Or as if it's a young couple or a couple without kids, something like that, where you can bring a shelf-stable breakfast with you in your luggage. So, Pop-Tarts or, something like that.
Right, right. Granola bars, whatever.
Yeah, so basically something you can grab and go. And you don't plan on coming back to the room until after dinner. You're basically using the room as a place to sleep. You're not looking for the various Disney amenities at the hotel. You really want somewhere to park your bags and to sleep for, 6 to 8 hours a night. And that's it.
Right.
And so in that case, yeah, I would happily do it. Oh no, there's construction. Whatever. It's I'm not here for it. Oh no, there's no dining. I'm not here for that either.
Yeah, if you were eating at Shutters, you were doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like for the most part, most of the resorts, the dining at them is you can do it, but if I can get to the parks in 20 minutes or half an hour, I'll eat in the parks. And prices are the same.
Or, well, if you've got a car, you could go over and eat at Art of Animation's food court. That's got, you know, you've got food right there. That's actually pretty good. That's relatively close. I think the caveat is if on resort dining isn't important to you, and there's a myriad of reasons why that's the likely thing. So if you've got a car and you're going other places to eat, if you're going to be in the park all day and you're not coming back to the resort to eat, like then I think that becomes a non-issue for people. So for that, and that, then it becomes is the main pool going to remain open? And that I think is something that's not been determined right now. But if that remains open, I think that if you're a family that has kids that like the pool, I would put the Caribbean Beach pool heads above both the one at Riverside and French Quarter. I remember Coronado being pretty nice, but I think that it had actually a better play area for little kids at Caribbean Beach.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's a lot going on at Coronado because, again, partially as a nod to the convention crowd, there are some other things available there near the pool. There's the sand pit area that has sand volleyball and stuff going on. So there's some other things to do there that are nice. But I would agree that Caribbean Beach has the nicest pool. I think we really hit on the most important things, right? I think that especially with all this other stuff going on, if you're staying at Caribbean Beach, you probably want to have your car. Just because of the potential for buses to get interrupted or have difficulty getting through a tight space because of a construction vehicle or things like that. I mean, it's not something I would expect to happen every day, but it's the kind of thing that would be incredibly annoying to me if it happened, you know, twice in one trip kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you've got your own car, and I think it's also one, if you've got a family of five, right? If you've got, you know, three kids and one or two of those kids are small ones, or you've got a family of four and, you know, Richard's situation where you've got the, you know, tween son and daughter that just, they're not going to share a bed anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they each need their own space. I think though, then it becomes more compelling because there are more of those rooms available and they're going to be hard to come by in other resorts as people, you know, do avoid because of the construction.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so that's Caribbean Beach. What about Coronado Springs, our other under construction resort? You know, we've kind of talked about it a lot in terms of convention guests, but then I think all of us who have stayed there not as convention guests necessarily. So, you know, talk a little bit about who is the right choice for whom Coronado Springs is the right choice.
I think it would be a good choice for couples, you know, honeymooning type of situation. You know, yes, it's a Disney resort. You're going to see kids around, but there's a distinct adult feel to the place. Like you said, with a lot of the amenities and a lot of things that are going on around the whole resort, it's definitely geared more towards the adults. I mean, I just remember walking out the backside of the check-in area, and I'm overlooking, and the first thing I see is a lakeside bar. I mean, normally that's where I would normally see the Surrey bikes, something like that. You know, kids are screaming at their parents, "Let me get on a bike ride," or "Get me on a horse carriage ride if I'm staying at Port Orleans." But the fact that I can get a margarita and sit lakeside, it was so worth it. But I do believe that, especially too, you know, the theming also I think could be a little bit lost on children. Unless, of course, you live in the American Southwest, but yeah, it's not nearly as Mickey-fied, I guess, as some of the other resorts would be. So if you kind of need that break from the mouse, so to speak, that could be a good place to sort of hang back and retreat a little bit and catch your breath, you know, before you have to put the ears back on.
Sure, sure. And I think, go ahead. No, no.
I think if you're looking for amenities, then, and you want to be in a moderate, Coronado is the place to go, just because it's the only one with a fitness center. I think it's the only one with a business center. It's the only one with a lot of different things that most of the other moderates doesn't have, because it caters to that business crowd. And so you're getting more than what you would get at most of the other moderates. I mean, I think it was the first moderate to switch to queen beds, and now others have kind of caught up to it. So you can kind of get stuff, you can get things there that you don't get at any of the other moderates. And so kind of as a value person, I see that as being a reason to potentially stay there too.
Right. And I think that Coronado is a good choice. As you were mentioning, Roy was saying, you know, for adult couples, I think in particular, it's a good choice because it's one of the resorts that has, you know, those king bed rooms as a bookable category, which they don't all have. So that's kind of nice. And in addition to having those other amenities available, I mean, Rick's Bar is on par with a lot of the, or at least some of the deluxe resort lounges. It's a really nice bar. It's a really nice lounge. Good place to hang out. The extra, you know, not pool bar, right? The extra lake bar is a nice little bonus. And I think it can be a good choice for moderate if you're not going to have a car, because even though it has multiple bus stops, it just felt to me like they were positioned better than the additional bus stops at French Quarter, or at Riverside, I mean.
Yeah.
They're just spaced very well, and they seemed to be, maybe it just didn't feel like you were walking as far to get to those secondary bus stops. It's, for some reason at Riverside, it feels like those secondary bus stops are just like way the heck far away.
Well, yeah, from the buildings. Everything winds and winds around, and you turn right to go left.
Yeah. Well, that's probably it. Right. There's few things at Riverside are in direct line of sight.
One of the things that you just said made me think of something. So one of the things that our check-in person said at Caribbean Beach is that there were no elevators that guests could use at the Caribbean Beach Resort.
Right.
And I know that they have those at other moderates that we've stayed in. So you are limited if you have mobility or access issues at Caribbean Beach in a way that I think you're not limited at other moderates.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it is an issue. It's a function of it being the first one built, and, you know, they just, ADA compliance wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So Caribbean Beach, Coronado, we just started talking a little bit about Riverside. You know, who's the target here for Riverside? Who's going to choose Riverside among the moderates?
That's actually our favorite moderate. We're back there in August. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that you got that the space for that fifth person, or, you know, when you've got tweens who won't share, or, you know, whatever. It's a lot easier now that they're not in strollers. Yeah. Just because strollers fall asleep, you've got to, you know, get off the bus, which never land, you know, stops where you want it to, and set up the stroller and transfer the kid, et cetera. With little kids, it was doable, but boy, it was hard. Now the kids are probably not falling asleep on the bus on the way back. We enjoyed a lot more. I think when the kids hit like true, you know, mid-teens, late teens, we'll probably switch resorts again, because it, at that point, that fifth bed's not big enough.
Right.
You know, it's just once you're about 5'2", 5'4", that bed's not big. It gets really small.
Yeah.
But if I were like a couple, you know, Yeehaw Bob, River Roost, it's nice. It's quiet. There's a lot of just, you can kind of sit and wander. You know, it's a nice quiet resort away from the mouse. Again, it's themed, but it's not beating you over the head with the fact that it's Disney. Unless you stay in one of the Royal Princess rooms, but that's
right.
That's your choice. You did it on purpose.
I actually had no choice. I stayed in one of those, and I got to admit, I can't wait to bring my daughter to that room.
They're great rooms for, for kids. You know, as an adult, it's like, yay, but how much Dexter was this tonight?
Yeah, exactly. Trust me. I pushed that button for the fireworks quite a bit just to make sure I felt like I was getting my money's worth.
Port Orleans had been our family's favorite moderate for a long time before we've stayed at all of them. I think I would almost classify it as the resort I would take my parents or my in-laws to. So the theming there, because it's kind of the old South, it has it seems to have a lot more flowers and garden-y things. I'm not even sure what the right term for it is. But if you look at the grounds for it, it's a lot, particularly in the mansion area, it's a lot more ornate than the other resorts. And so just kind of walking around with in-laws and people like that's a resort that they've always seemed to really enjoy. I mean, so we like it. We liked it because of that. I mean, I think right now, given the growth of the Fifth Bed at some of the other resorts, that wouldn't necessarily be our deciding factor. But we really enjoy the theming. The kids enjoy it. They enjoy it. But I think, you know, it's a good general family resort. And it's a resort that you wouldn't go wrong with.
I think that's well taken. It's sort of a safe resort, right? It's a safe choice. It also, from the moderate perspective, has become, I think, sort of the bargain hunter's resort because, you know, with big chunks of Caribbean Beach under construction, and so a lot of their inventory taken off the market right off the bat, construction happening at Coronado, it's going to take some of their inventory off of the table. And then you've got Port Orleans French Quarter that has been consistently excluded from discount offers for at least the last, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Your pool of available moderate resort hotel rooms when Disney rolls out discounts is going to get awfully tight here for a couple of years. And Riverside is probably going to be the place where you're going to see more of those discount rooms available than any other resort, only because it's going to be the only one of these resorts that has, you know, enough inventory available to have excess inventory.
Yep.
Yep.
So for the bargain hunters, if you don't want to have to look at the possibility of moving resorts when a discount gets released, you know, go ahead and get yourself booked at Riverside and then try and apply a discount when it comes out, because that's where you're most likely to find it. No promises, but my guess is that's where you're most likely to find it.
Yep.
And then, you know, French Quarter, I think, shares a lot of things with Riverside. By the way, we should mention Riverside is the only moderate that has, you know, consistent entertainment. Yeehaw Bob is there. Is he back up to 4 nights a week now?
I think so.
So he's doing, Yeehaw Bob is doing shows 4 nights a week. And when I say he's there doing shows, he performs from basically 6 o'clock till midnight, just about?
Thereabout. I mean, sometimes I think it starts a little after six, but it's a good 5-6 hours that he's there.
And that's a nice amenity to have available at a moderate resort. It is the only moderate resort that's got an entertainer, you know, multiple times a week, and really great quality family entertainment that everybody can hang out together and see the early shows. And if you want to gather adults together and do the later night show, it gets a little rowdier, but still family friendly and appropriate.
Yeah, it's PG. So
yeah, absolutely. And worth mentioning, French Quarter. That's where we chose to bring my parents when we brought my brought them to have a multi-generational trip. We did French Quarter mostly because of the size. You know, when you've got older family members, I think French Quarter is great because being more compact, it's just easier for them to maneuver. The cobblestones, actually, I didn't think about those originally, and I'm now much more conscious of them because my dad has some ankle issues and he didn't love the cobblestones. But aside from that, you know, the fact that everything's close together, it's all available, it's relatively quiet because of the size, you know, it works great for that. I also think that it's probably the most romantic of the moderates. So you know, honeymoon couples or anniversary couples, that kind of thing. You can, you know, a king bed is a bookable category at French Quarter. So I think it's a great choice from that perspective. And I love the just one bus stop. So among the moderates, I actually think if you're mobility challenged, French Quarter is probably your best choice among moderates because of that. Because I think it's a little harder to maneuver if you've got mobility issues in those larger, more spread out resorts with the multiple bus stops. It's just extra headaches.
Yes.
Anybody else have thoughts about French Quarter?
Go for the beignets, stay for the pool. I don't know.
It's really well themed. I mean, it is. Know, all the little iron gates and the way that the buildings are colored. I mean, it's we're looking at booking a trip to go to real New Orleans, and it's been interesting to like look at pictures of French Quarter next to it and say, oh wow, I really like all these things. There's things, little things that I didn't notice before now stand out as being really incredible theming. But that's just Disney in general, I think.
Well, that's true. You look closer, you just find more. All right, so that's the Port Orleans resorts. And that leaves us the cabins at Fort Wilderness to talk about it. And, you know, the irony here is that I don't think any of us have stayed at these yet. And I think all of us kind of took a look at the pictures of the renovated rooms that they just finished, you know, probably within the last year or so. And I got to guess that all of us are saying, ooh, maybe we do need to think about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, given the price point and the amenities around the resort, you know, as well as, let's face it, if you're looking at the cabins of Fort Wilderness, chances are you're looking for a little bit more space, and which will probably lead you to either the Art of Animation, family suites, things like that. The cabin, for one thing, has a full kitchen, which for some might be a big, big selling point.
And I got to say, after the renovation, I mean, when they did before the renovation, they were using some of those sort of, I don't know, they always seem to me to be kind of, you know, weird apartment fixtures. So they were the, you know, yeah, kind of 3/4 size stove. And
Right.
And it looks to me like since the renovation, they've gone to regular full-size appliances, and that makes a world of difference in terms of usefulness as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, if you're looking to save a few bucks and, you know, you don't mind cooking every once in a while, I mean, that'll be a pretty decent savings for you. You know, and again, with all the other activities that are going on around Fort Wilderness, I mean, it's almost like its own little community. Like, depending on when you go, they've got all kinds of different things going on. You know, whether it's decorating all the campsites for Christmas, to trick-or-treating during Halloween, you can very easily spend a day or two in Fort Wilderness and not have to go to the parks and be perfectly happy because you've had so much to do and see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Go ahead, Richard.
I think I would choose Fort Wilderness, like if I needed the space or if I was going to be in the area for, you know, 8 or 10 days, but I didn't plan for more than about 5 park days.
Good point.
So it's like, okay, I've got X many park days, but I've got a longer vacation. Well, Fort Wilderness area makes a lot of sense because there's a lot more to do there. You know, and the kids aren't going to be sitting there saying, well, we're at Disney World, why are we going to the parks today? Because we're going to go do archery and we're going to do horseback riding.
Right,
and you're going to like it.
And that's what's really cool about the cabins, because, you know, it's sort of that weird dichotomy that you've got the boat ride that can take you right across to Magic Kingdom. But if you're back at the resort, you're isolated enough by the area that, you know, you don't feel like you're in the crush of the theme parks. It's almost pastoral.
Yeah.
And this is another issue too, you know, when we're talking about people with some mobility challenges, like most of the other moderates, you know, you can park close to your room at the cabins. You can literally park right up at your cabin. And you know, I believe most of the cabins now have ramps, if not all of them. So there is that issue. The one downside and the big, the one thing that, you know, Art of Animation kind of still has the edge on the cabins on that I think we have to mention is that at least Art of Animation, that master bedroom has a queen size bed at the cabins. And it drives me crazy. Again, this is another one of those examples. I don't get why they make this choice. It can't have saved them that much space, but they went with double bed in the main bedroom instead of the queen size bed.
Is it because of the bunks that are right next to it?
Yeah. That'd be my thought. But I would have thought about trying to section it off so you have essentially a master bedroom for, you know, mom and dad.
Exactly.
That has a queen in it and a door.
Right.
And
then, even if it's a pocket door that's a sliding door, you know?
Yeah. Because the Art of Animation, you can actually seal off essentially a bedroom and a bath. You know,
right, right.
Bathroom. So there's a bit more of a privacy aspect too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only piece that I think is really kind of the drawback. It's that and the transportation that we talked about, right? That you've got that double bus system, and it just can be, you know, it feels sometimes like it takes forever to get out of there. And I think it probably feels more like that just because, you know, you're on your way to the parks. I mean, it just takes longer.
Well, you always just, you know, take a convenient 25-minute walk to Fort or to Wilderness Lodge.
Well, but they've got, unfortunately, that's the one, you know, we'll get to that when we're talking about deluxe resorts, but that's its drawback too, kind of, is that it's got the longer bus rides.
Yeah. I think one of the things that you just kind of hit on, like a couple things back when you were talking, about the seal off, the bedroom that you can seal off at Art of Animation, the other big difference between the two things, and what would be a big difference for our family, is that you have two bathrooms in the family suite versus one in the cabin.
Yeah.
And that with kids that are trying to get ready and other stuff. Yeah. That makes a big difference I'm going to go to the bathroom, like running, screaming towards the hotel room, kids fighting over that. Like having two bathrooms there's a big advantage to that.
Yeah. Now that the kids have hit teenage, it's kind of become a much more pressing issue.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, anybody else have any, other thoughts about any of these moderate resorts as we've kind of talked our way around Walt Disney World property?
Anecdotal comment. We just got back from Caribbean Beach. Our room at Caribbean Beach was in phenomenal shape. Like, it looked brand new on the inside. There was no discoloration in any of the grout. Like, the whole room looked like, you know, we were the first people that had stayed in it. And we switched from there to the Poly, and it was staying in a DVC suite at Poly felt like kind of a step down. We also had a much better check-in experience at Caribbean Beach than at Poly. The people were a lot friendlier.
Interesting. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yep.
All right. Well, so I want to do just a quick whip around here. We've talked around a lot of things, but if you got to choose, you know, one of these moderate resorts to stay in on your next trip to Walt Disney World, and it was not a matter of money or availability or anything else, which one are you going to choose? And let's have Ryan's answer first.
I'll go Coronado.
Richard?
Given the current family dynamics, we're staying with Riverside.
Roy?
Orleans Riverside's always been my favorite.
All right. Well, you know, I'm tempted to go back to French Quarter. Beignets are calling, but I'm so intrigued by these cabins that I just might have to see what the deal is in the cabins at Fort Wilderness. The transportation issue is still bugging me. I'm going to have to figure that out because it's really tempting. All right. Well, you know, you've heard what we think about these moderate resorts at Walt Disney World. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet at us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. And hey, if you got a spare minute and you're enjoying the show, we'd really appreciate a review on whatever service you use to listen to the show. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, whatever it is. Those reviews make it easier for new listeners to find the show when they're searching for a Disney podcast. Somehow fresh reviews reassure the iTunes folks that there are actually people who listen to the show. So it encourages them to recommend it. So if you could do that, that would be great. I also want to mention, I just learned that I've not been crediting our closing music here properly. Because we're using it on a podcast, I should be mentioning on the show, giving the credit for the music, and I really do appreciate it. It's composed by a guy named Kevin MacLeod. The piece is called Whiskey on the Mississippi, and he makes this music available on a royalty-free basis, which we really appreciate, because it works really nicely with the show, and we want to make sure we acknowledge it. So thanks for making that available, Kevin. And anyway, until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with the R Boys, Ryan Treichler.
Good night, everybody.
Richard Grady.
Good night, everyone.
And Roy David.
Have a wonderful evening, everybody.